a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, how they've given you a number and taken away your name. Well, pretty faces you may find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say. Don't you give yourself away. All the odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, how they've given you number and taken away your name. Sunning on the Riviera one day, then the bleeding in a Bombay alley next day. Oh, don't you let the wrong word slip while kissing persuasive lips. The odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, how they've given you number and taken away your name. Secret agent man, secret agent man, how they've given you a number and taken away your name. Secret agent man, secret.
Tom Brady. Nice seeing you again. Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
Is Trump an official Putin pal or not?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, people have been asking us to bring back Putin pals, but I think it's done its thing.
I think it needs to inhabit a new genre.
A new universe.
I think it needs to be Trump. On. Bless you.
Excuse me.
I think it needs to be, you know, yes. On the big screen or the small screen or another screen.
Some other screen. Putin pals. So we played. That was your pick, the Secret Agent Man. That was your pick in honor of James Comey.
I guess Kat from Chicago thought it was, she said, "Wait, I thought 7 second delay was tomorrow." No, we're playing it because it's an awesome tune.
Oh, really?
Yes.
All right, you picked it.
Yes. Hi, I'm Jim the Poet.
Hi, I'm Bronwyn C.
This is Sportsy Talk in WFMU.
Yep. We got a lot of sports to talk about today. We have so many things. First off, the most important thing of all, Yajeets, our Sportsy Talk WFMU Marathon Supporter 2017 condoms.
I'm going to try one on.
You're going to try that on?
They look huge, though. I don't understand. Are they supposed to be this big?
There are actual sizes in condoms. How big is this? That's normal.
It seems a little large for me.
That's normal. We used to have to buy magnums.
I need junior magnums.
Have you seen magnums?
No, I've never bought those. Yeah, they're because I was always like, big. I don't know, they seem a little too big.
No, they're good.
I'll let you know if they fit.
Okay, you unwrapping that? Yeah. Anyway, it has our beautiful faces on the.
It's hard to unwrap.
well, it's supposed to be hard to unwrap. Anyway, I'm glad to see that not only are they made in Thailand, so you know their quality. But they don't expire until May of 2022, so you can carry this thing in your wallet for years. Like if you're a high school boy and you just want to carry one around and have it flip out every so often, you know, in the cafeteria line, whatever you guys do, yeah. You can carry this around forever.
This product contains natural rubber latex, which may cause allergic reactions.
Uh-oh.
Yikes.
Be careful.
And it is not ribbed for anyone's pleasure.
Before using, please see directions for use. But the directions for use are not included. So how do we know?
What directions?
I don't know. It says, before using, please see directions for use. Maybe we should write directions
for use. I think
it's
on the outside of the box.
There's no box.
There's no box.
You just get one. Anyway, it's a real keepsake kind of a thing. It has our faces on it. It says, yeah, Jeets.
I think that'll, during the important moment where you're opening these, you'll be like, oh.
I know. Anyway, they're here. So we're really excited about that. And, yeah. You just keep making that noise.
It's hard to open.
Yeah. You don't open it. I forgot to ask you about your personal life earlier, so I'll have to ask you off the air. I meant to ask you about your personal life.
Everything's
I forgot.
Fine. I am the Trisha O and Screaming Child and Husband Sportsy Talk co-host of the
and
year.
And I am the Joshua V Sportsy Talk co-host for 2017, I believe, as far as I know. I don't know.
Sure, okay.
Joshua V, whoever you are, why don't you...
Reach out, Joshua V.
Let me know who you are. I don't know who you are. You said that there was exciting NFL news. Also, we have a review and some audio from a book launch party from a new book called The Bittersweet Science, which is from University of Chicago Press. Yeah, we're not going to play that right now. It's okay. You have time to queue it up.
All right.
You can queue it up sometime. Anyway, I went to that. I went to the launch
party. I threw
out
my back because I'm an old person.
Yeah, you couldn't go, right? And then I got
there. I was carrying
there.
Regalia, and I wrenched my back.
What's regalia?
Like, it's commencement gear. It's graduation stuff.
It's actually called regalia?
Regalia.
You just called it that?
No, that's what its official name
regalia?
Is.
Regalia? You were carrying regalia.
Caps and gowns, etc.
That's pretty fancy.
Hoods.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrenched my back doing that.
I'm sorry.
And then I was.
And then you couldn't go. Have you ever seen the Deadspin offices?
No, is that where you went?
Oh my God! Yeah, it's like they're palatial.
I always just figured that
they're palatial.
Lived in cages.
No, it's insane. It's like I've never seen offices like that. I've
really?
Gone to like some fancy companies and stuff, you know.
Me and Ben went to a party at the Paris Review offices, and that was kind of anticlimactic. I thought it was going to be like lots of mimes and.
Paris. People like wearing berets and pince-nez.
There was like a
people carrying loaves of bread.
There was none
of striped
that.
Shirts.
There was no brie whatsoever.
No, there was no brie.
No.
Oh. Something's just come in. Oh, thank you.
Hey, explain what just happened.
Jeff M. just came in with his Putin cup.
Oh, yeah.
His Putin mug.
Software developer Steve gave me this really creepy special Putin
this
mug.
This is beautiful. Putin, he's got his shirt on, but his tie's undone. His tie is undone.
I know. He's very nice.
He's like a secret agent, and he's surrounded by his special like Spetsnaz soldiers or whatever.
They've got like the Imperial Eagle of Russia is behind them stuff.
So I just thought I'd let
you. This is a terrifying mug. Are you going to like drink from this?
No, it frightens me. It creeps me out too much.
Where can I get it? I want one. This is really terrifying.
Software developer Steve.
Okay, software developer Steve, let us know where you get these scary things. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Well, you know, Putin's going to be our new master, so we're getting ready.
A new master?
Yeah. You know.
He's been our master for a while, hasn't he?
Apparently. I like the way, you know, the Republicans were all jumping up and down on Hillary Clinton for putting classified information on her email server, and it turns out it was just because they wanted her to just give it to the Russians.
Yeah, just blurt it out at some meeting.
Blurt it out at some meeting. Yeah.
Go to Mar-a-Lago, you know, by the pool.
Yeah.
Spill
her
guts.
Tell them everything.
I didn't know there was much to tell them. I mean, it doesn't seem like we got a lot going on.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we won't anymore. Nobody's going to tell us anything more. Cause
that's
we're
the
just
last time we get anything good.
Yeah.
We're not going to get anything good.
Nope.
Until the Pence.
See, I don't know if Pence is going to be better. But I mean...
No, he's going to be worse. I mean, it'll be worse.
Right.
Because he actually knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
It'll be terrible.
Yeah.
Big NFL news. So...
Yes. What could it be, I wonder?
The first...
You know, when you told me that you didn't want me to know, I looked at your notes. Go ahead.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
There's two games on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
To start off Monday Night Football. It's in September.
It's like the beginning games. It's not like the preseason games. It's the actual games.
Actual games.
Are they on ESPN?
ESPN.
Yes.
Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And Rex Ryan is going to call the first game.
Rex Ryan.
With the first woman to call a national NFL game. Her name is
Beth
Mowins.
Who's actually doing the play-by-play and who's doing the color?
Beth Mowins is her name.
Is she going to do the play-by-play?
Yeah, she's really good, actually.
And Wex Wyan's going to do the color commentary?
He's going to do the goofy color commentary and foot joke thing. They used to have...
Oh, man, wouldn't it be great if, like, what's her name, Beth?
Beth Mowins.
Beth Mowins. Okay, so she's calling the game, right? And she slips her shoes off and starts wiggling her toes under the desk. Wex Wyan would just lose his mind. He would lose his mind. He really would.
Beth Mowins is a play-by-play announcer and sports journalist for ESPN and CBS. She typically calls college women's sports.
Yeah.
And became only the second woman to call a nationally televised college football games for ESPN in 2005. So
she's done it before.
She hasn't done the NFL.
Oh, she did college.
She did preseason NFL, and she did college games.
Yeah.
Like she called a Ohio State game.
Are they doing this because nobody will watch ESPN anymore, so they figure they're
Berman's
trying all
out.
Kinds of stuff? Yeah,
Berman's
I know.
That's
what I'm saying. His wife died. Did you know that Berman's wife died in a terrible
car
accident in Connecticut? She died recently.
I think she died, and her brother died.
I mean, can you
like
imagine? It's like first you lose your job, and then your wife dies like a week later.
He retired. He's like semi-retired or something like that.
They pushed him out. You know that. That's awful.
But since he's not doing
I feel bad for
they don't
him.
Want him to do the Monday Night football game.
No.
So Rex is getting a shot.
Wex.
Which is, he's got to be at least as bearable as that Chucky guy that does the normal game, who's just unbearable.
I don't know.
Sean McDonough, who used to be the Red Sox announcer.
Yes.
And what's his name? Crazy coach from the Buccaneers or whatever, the Raiders.
I don't know what
Chucky.
You're talking about.
He looks like Chucky.
Whatever. Yeah, Chucky. Chucky the doll.
Chucky the doll.
He's going to do the announcing.
She'll be the first woman to call an NFL game since 1987.
Okay.
But the first to do a nationally televised game.
Who was the first one to call an NFL game? Does it say? 1987. Who was that?
Gail Sirens.
Did she only last one game? What happened?
I don't know.
I want to know.
Okay, I got to look.
I want to know. Well, you know, if you're going to look this stuff up, you should, like, really research.
I wrote my notes here.
Yeah,
I know.
I saw your notes. They look like you're inventing your own spelling, and they're only, like, one or two words per.
I'm just trying to remind myself of what
I saw.
I
saw NFL, ESPN, Wex Wyan, and I was like, yeah.
Gail Sirens is a former broadcast journalist, news anchor for WFLA-TV.
Okay. WFLA.
In 1987, through a short stint with NBC Sports, she became the first woman to do play-by-play for an NFL regular season football game.
Yay.
Which she called the December 20... Oh, this is a hot game.
Yeah.
December 27th game with the Seahawks and the Chiefs.
Yay!
Yay! She was originally to be a regular play-by-play announcer for the season, but a contract dispute with WFLA prevented her from continuing in
those
that role.
Those bastards.
She had that one game.
Those bastards at WFLA. I imagine that's in Florida, right? FLA,
I imagine
probably.
It's in Tallahassee, it sounds like.
Oh. All right.
Or it's somewhere in Florida.
And she didn't get to do it.
She got one game.
She was still first.
She's the first.
All right.
That wasn't nationally televised.
All right,
this
okay.
is a nationally televised Monday Night Football.
Okay.
Prime time.
We should have a viewing party.
We should watch it. Well, it starts at like 10 because it's
yeah.
the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Denver Broncos. Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, but it's on Monday night. They have to have it on some, like, I mean, doesn't have to start at
no,
like
No, one of the games starts
something.
At like 7.
Oh,
the
it's
other one
of those.
Starts at 10,
it's one of those
30
two up.
Like
oh, yeah,
that.
So they can put it in the late night.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know.
I don't care.
I think that's cool.
I don't
but
have ESPN
a
anymore.
Lady with Rex Ryan in cramped quarters, what could happen?
Nothing. I'm telling you, she's got to kick her shoes off and wiggle her toes. That's going
to
be just...
We should try to get her on the air. I'm going to call
really?
Her.
You're going to call
let's
her?
Have another, let's have a production meeting right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay. We already figured
let's
out
let's get Beth on the air.
Okay, we're going to get Beth on the air. We're going to try to get Sarah Deming on the air. We're going to try to get who other ladies
Hamilton,
do you want to
Nolan.
Meet? He's not a lady, though. I saw
are
him.
Sure? Are you sure?
No, I saw him. He's definitely a guy. You know, I saw Hamilton Nolan at the Deadspin offices on Wednesday night because they were having a book lunch party for this book called The Bittersweet Science, which is... Could you not make mouth noises
I'm
when I'm talking?
I'm just drinking coffee.
I know you are, but don't make mouth noises on the air.
That's
so
refreshing.
Then, so did you hear about that kid who, like, drank... He drank a giant Mountain Dew, and then he drank a big latte, and then he drank an energy drink, and then his heart exploded, and he died?
Is this on video?
It happened, like, this week. Yeah, it's, like, real. It's like this kid happened... It's like he's, like, 16 or something.
Like, I don't know. What did he,
his,
what did he drink all those
are,
things for?
I don't know. He was tired. Now he's dead. Anyway, so...
Chugged a latte, chugged a Mountain Dew, and an energy drink.
Yep, there you go.
There's a video.
There's a video of him doing it? Does it show him dying? They have to take those down. They're not allowed to put those up anymore.
You can't have those?
No, you can't have people dying.
He's from South Carolina.
All right. Greetings to our South Carolina listeners.
Go Cox.
Listener Ralphine, listener Mike, go Cox. Yeah, so I saw Hamilton Nolan because he has a piece about his trainer. Yeah, he's
funny
a
guy.
I
hates
like
Boston.
I like his writing very much, and I told Sluggo when I got home, I said, well, I saw Hamilton Nolan. He doesn't look anything like I thought he would look. And Sluggo said, well, what'd you think he'd look like? And I said, well, I thought he'd be like just a little bit taller than me and quite slender and dark, very dark, and have like a pencil thin mustache. And he said, Bronwyn, you're describing John Waters. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I was thinking of John Waters, but he doesn't look like that at all. So I don't know, you know, I was so nonplussed by the fact that he didn't look like John Waters that I didn't actually speak to him directly. But I really enjoyed the event. I enjoyed the panel. I enjoyed the free beer.
Should we play some of the? Should I try to get some of that stuff up there?
Yeah, I guess as long as we're kind of talking about it. I really recommend the book. I got a copy of the book at the party, and I'm about halfway through it. It's a series of essays about boxing, but it's written by people who actually have some connection with boxing. They're all nonfiction essays. They're not, you know, some hoity-toity flight of fantasy,
hoity-toity
fiction. Joyce Carol Oates.
Joyce Carol Oates really likes. She knows a lot about boxing.
Yeah, she didn't know anything. So these people are writing about the real deal. And it's really good. And the writing.
I don't often come to Joyce Carol Oates's.
I'm just saying, the
we should
writing.
Get her on the show, too.
Yeah, let's get her on the show, too. Let's get her and Hamilton Nolan on the same show.
They could fight about
that'd be
fighting.
Great.
But she's like 75 pounds, soaking wet.
Well, so is Hamilton Nolan, I think, except that he's like 9 feet tall. But other than that, you know, he's very tall. He's very tall. Yeah. He's
Everyone
much,
seems
much
tall to me because
I'm short.
Short and fat and gross.
Ugh.
Short, fat, and gross.
All right, what?
Wait, I'm still
what are you
here.
Looking at? Okay.
What do you want to hear? Door guys?
No, let's hear the panel first. Cause,
panel?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Wait, no.
No.
Okay, now I'm ready. Go.
Any questions from the audience?
That's Hamilton Nolan talking.
I guess I'm wondering if boxing is in decline and part of the problem is MMA, or how you guys see that as if it's part of the problem or it's
a She wants to know if boxing is in decline because of MMA, mixed martial arts.
I think I have to not comment because
I should have edited that out. It's this guy who actually was a fighting promoter and used to fix fights, and he says he can't comment.
Demographics, but I don't follow. I can't give you an educated answer.
Purely a guess. Just no knowledge behind this. I'm thinking that the combat sports kind of do work off each other, and that interest in MMA and pro wrestling would actually stoke an interest in boxing. Back in the day, the boxing magazines were actually boxing and wrestling magazines, ring sport magazines. But I do think there is, you can tell, like a separate, not completely separate with the Venn diagram, but some separation between the values of MMA and the values of boxing. And I do think maybe the values of MMA have kind of tapped into society better than the values of boxing. One in particular that I write about is, in MMA, it's okay to quit. If the guy's got you checkmated, tap out. In boxing, you're supposed to sit there and be murdered, literally, until some incompetent fool comes in and steps in. And like, and you're a wimp if you quit in boxing when it's such a smart move. And if you clearly can't win, why would you go on? So maybe, if again, like I'm taking point A and point B, boxing is less popular than MMA. Why is that? Let me make something up. It might be the baggage.
And I won't give you the long version, but I think MMA came along fairly late in the game. When the game was a boxing, so it was connected to work. And as the nature of work changed in America, boxing became less central. When boxing and baseball were the sports that mattered, boxing was deeply connected to industrial work. And, you know, that transformation of cities and neighborhoods, of our culture, and the sort of estrangement from bodies working, at least in our popular culture, I think MMA has come along towards the end of this process, which is of boxing becoming decentered and becoming... You know, you think about the old neighborhood and the institutions of the old neighborhood, the saloon, the union hall, the boxing gym, the church or the synagogue or whatever it is. When boxing was ingrained in the neighborhood structure of America like that, it was central. MMA came along pretty late in the process of that stuff, of suburbanization and all the other things that have transformed American life. And it came along very late in the process of the deindustrialization of America. So, yeah, I think there's actually a way in which interest in MMA, if boxing was smarter about it, could be parlayed into an interest in boxing. In the same way that an interest in the Rolling Stones got parlayed into an interest in Robert Johnson in the 1960s, right? Is to sort of take people back to the roots. And boxing's shown no interest in doing that or no expertise.
One more thing on that. Yeah. And one other thing about fighting styles. I mean, Americans have dominated boxing for a long time. Maybe MMA is more open to globalization, that there's world fighting styles. And that might have something to do with it, too.
So that was that. I don't think I want to play the other one because it recorded really badly, and I couldn't get the levels to come out right. But so that was part of the panel talking about MMA versus boxing, and it was a really interesting discussion. And it's a very interesting book. It's called The Bittersweet Science.
Did you get a freebie copy?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
I could have asked somebody to sign it, but, you know, I didn't know who anybody was. So, like, what if I went up to somebody and asked them to sign it and they weren't one of the writers? I mean, you know, I could have just asked some random.
I've done that before. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but you do it because you're drunk, and I do it because I can't recognize faces. So, I mean, you know, it's sort of the same thing.
But we could try to get some of those guys on to talk about
it. Would be good. I really do recommend the book. I'm about halfway through it. The writing is great. It's very interesting. It's all written by people who have some connection to boxing or have boxed or have been promoters or, you know, connected to boxing and in some way. And it's really good. I really like it. Bittersweet Science. It's edited by Carlo Rotello and Michael Ezra, and it's from University of Chicago Press.
So we'll try to get maybe some of the writers.
Yeah, or come on and talk about it.
I don't necessarily
talk about
think
it forever. I mean, you know.
No, I'm just saying we can have
a couple on at once.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we could figure something like that out.
Probably. Can we have John Waters come on instead of
He's on book tour. I know that he's on book tour.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have him come on and pretend to be Hamilton Nolan, since that's what I thought Hamilton Nolan looked like, apparently. I don't know.
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. Dial carefully. Talk to John P., the listener's call screener.
The people's call screener.
The people call screener.
But you know what?
What?
We have somebody on the phone right now.
Who?
I don't know. WFMU, you're on the air. Maybe.
Are we in mono?
No, thank you. Hello, WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Hi, it's listener Jim F. How are you?
Hi, listener Jim F. Here for Horsey Talk.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just a brief call about the Preakness coming up this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, the Preakness. And there, now the one-eyed horse, Patch, is not running in the Preakness. Is that right?
That's right. Unfortunately, the field is going to be much smaller for this race. Only about maybe 12 horses.
12?
So why should we even, like, why should we watch it? I mean, if the one-eyed horse isn't, are there any other crippled horses or handicapped horses running? Not like handicappers,
but
you know.
We don't have any kind of interesting angle like that. This race just seems like a bunch of basic race horses, and we don't have that same appeal that the Kentucky Derby has with the Preakness. I think the Preakness' main purpose is to see if the Derby winner will win it, to see if there's going to be a big race coming up for the Belmont. You know, other than that, there's not like a lot of drama to the Preakness.
I think I remember, wasn't it a couple of years ago the Kentucky Derby winner decided not to run in the Preakness, and then nobody cared? Do you remember that? I think that happened.
I usually think the Kentucky Derby person does. But like,
usually
injured in the race or there's some problem, they would go on. I think you may be thinking about, there was a few years ago, there was a horse called I'll Have Another who won both the Derby and the Preakness and then didn't run in the Belmont.
That's what I'm thinking of. Didn't run in the Belmont. You're right. Yep. I'll Have Another. So who are you picking in the Preakness? Who are you going to
I think Always
on?
Dreaming is not going to do it this time. I'm actually leaning toward Classic Empire, who was one of the co-favorites in the Derby, and he had a rough trip. He got banged around pretty hard coming out of the gate, kind of lost his stride, and I think he's going to turn the tables, and he's going to wind up spoiling the Triple Crown Dream. That's
all right, so
my prediction.
Here are the horses: Always Dreaming, Classic Empire, Cloud Computing, Conquest Mo Money, Guinevere, Hence, Looking at Lee, Multiplier.
Looking at Lee came in like second or third, right, in the Derby.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Senior Investment.
Uh-huh.
Term of Art. Ooh, I like that one. That's not bad. Is that all of them?
Yeah, I think that's what they have right now. Tomorrow they'll do the official draw, but from what they're thinking right now, that's going to be the field, So we got to have 10 horses.
Mm.
So we have to wait till tomorrow, see who we like, but you like Classic Empire, is that right?
Yep, I think that's my prediction. I could change it by the time race time comes around, but for now, that's what I'm looking at.
What's the big difference between the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness?
You know what? It's only a little bit shorter race. It's like a mile and 3/16, mile and 3/16 of a mile, compared to a mile and a quarter, which is a little bit longer, or another 16th quarter for the Derby. So there's not that much of a difference. It just doesn't have the same glamour and appeal that the Derby does, and it comes very quickly after the Derby, 2 weeks, so it's tough for a lot of these horses to come back. Normally they get between like 4 to 5 weeks between races, so to come back 2 weeks later is kind of tough, and that's why you don't see so many of them returning from the Derby.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in and giving us the advantage of your sportsy knowledge and horsey knowledge.
One last point I'd like to make is that a suggestion for NBC, who's doing the telecast, get a reporter or two out into the infield of the Preakness, because they have a reputation of being like the wildest party scene anywhere. Those people get nuts, and instead of doing 2 hours of like boring pre-race, leading up to the
just
race
party.
Itself, get your reporters out to that infield and cover what's going on there. I think it would be a lot more interesting.
Okay.
That sounds like a good idea.
We'll pass that along. Thank you.
Yes.
Special correspondent Jim F., our Horsey Talk guy.
Enjoy the race. Good luck, Jim.
Bye.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
I think Term of Art. I'm thinking Term of Art this
year. WFMU, you're on the air.
It's your Jeter Talk representative.
I know. Excellent. Jeter Talk. Yay.
It's Bullpen Betty.
Why are our phones...
I know. You got to turn it all the way up.
It is all the way up. Our phones are really low volume today. What's going on?
You can't hear me that well?
You're okay. Pretty good, you know.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm on a landline.
I don't know.
What are those?
What are you wearing?
Are you boxing?
You got your shoes on?
Bullpen Betty's admits she's boxed. It's a true story that I hope she'll be telling us.
What? You have boxed?
Yes, I know how to box.
Okay, you know how, but have you?
Yes, well, have I gotten in the ring like the Golden Gloves?
Yes.
No, because I did start to spar when I was a younger Betty, and I realized I was going to get my face broken, and I didn't want to do that. But I did. I have boxed for, 12 or 15 years. I box at least once a week.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you good?
But anyway, going
you
to
could
the
beat me up someday. We could have that. That could be like
one
of the.
I got into Derek Jeter Day without Jim's help.
Yes, you got into Derek Jeter Day. Now, did you just throw big money at StubHub or something? How did you do that?
Well,
Wait. First, we have to tell our listeners, because they may not know what Derek Jeter
Day
is.
They may not know who Derek Jeter is?
No, they don't know what Derek Jeter Day is. There was a special ceremony at Yankee Stadium to retire Derek Jeter's number.
They give the first 20,000 people herpes.
Yeah.
And Valtrex. Just as a free giveaway. Because Jeter and herpes are forever.
They are.
Forever and ever.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be the ceremony and then a game, which then turned into a doubleheader.
Right.
Because the game was rained out the night before.
Right.
So I ended up getting two games and a ceremony for the price of one
expensive game.
Woo!
Not too bad. And I got the Derek Jeter live on his big night. I took video of it, so I have it happening on the big screen in center field. And the best part of the video, and if you go to Bullpen Betty on Facebook, you'll see this. It's
and
my
you should.
Video. When it was done, when he was finished speaking, I panned the whole stadium. I was sitting like in the short porch, section 206.
Oh, that's a good section.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Everybody in the stadium, every seat was filled, which doesn't happen ever anymore, and everybody was shouting his name.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, it was. So if you watch my video, you can like skip to like the last 20 seconds, and it's something else.
Yeah, I watched that whole ceremony. I streamed it, and it was Derek Jeter's like my favorite player. So in spite of the fact that I make vicious fun of him almost every week, and always will, and we put Yeah Jeets on our condoms and everything else. Our official condoms came in today, so we're really excited about that.
I heard. I was
looking. Yeah. So,
I'm wearing one right now, but it just seems incredibly large.
I'm not looking. We had, and the condom itself has the two on it, and then it expands out to say respect with that backwards E, you know?
It does?
Yes, it
what?
Does.
Mine says re.
So I watched that whole ceremony. And I actually really liked the ceremony. I really, loved Derek Jeter. I loved watching him play when he was a player for the Yankees. And he always was a player for the Yankees for 20 years. That just doesn't happen, right? And he was so great. And then they got to the part where at the very, towards the end of the ceremony where he's coming out onto the field and they played the old Bob Shepard, the old announcer for the Yankees.
Batting for the Yankees.
No, they didn't say now batting.
Number
two. He wasn't batting.
Derek wasn't batting.
They just said
Jeter.
Yeah, they didn't. Derek.
Number
Jeter.
Two.
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't repeat. They didn't say now batting, but they had the tape. When Bob Shepard died, Derek Jeter asked that they always, instead of having the regular announcer announce him come out to the plate, that they play that Bob Shepard tape. So this time they played the Bob Shepard tape for the last time. They just said, number two, Derek Jeter, number two. And then and I got teary. I love
Bob Shepard's voice.
He was amazing.
He's like the voice of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, well, he was.
But, Derek Jeter's no Lenny Dykstra.
No.
I love Lenny Dykstra.
Isn't Lenny Dykstra?
He's in jail right now.
I was going to say, I think he's in prison.
He's in prison.
Yeah. No, I actually like his Facebook page, and he like puts these horrific videos I can't even watch. I used to love him back in the day.
Wait, Lenny Dykstra puts up terrible videos?
Yeah.
Of what?
Yeah, you got to check him out on Facebook, although I know that you...
How's he posting videos from prison?
He's not in prison at the moment, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Unless Unless he's in like the white collar prison.
Hmm.
Where they let you use they let you YouTube from the other room.
Baseball Mother's Day Derek Jeter story.
All right, yes, tell us this, because Derek Jeter picked Mother's Day to have his
why
number
was that?
Retired. Because he loved his mom, and his mom was always super supportive of him being a baseball player, and his Grammy was too, and his grandma was there, and his mom was there, and his dad was there.
So I think they should have had it on February 2nd, 2022. Also, I think it was cheap. They were getting wiped out, and they should have put in Derek Jeter to hit a home run at the end of the game.
Oh,
or
they should
like
have.
That.
Yeah, they should have put
the
him in.
Place would have got bananas.
That would have been amazing. They should have put
Susan Waldman would have been like, "It's the most dramatic thing to ever happen."
God, you're loud.
What?
You're screaming into the
so,
microphone.
So here's my story. You asked me how I, you know, could get into such a game as this, cost-wise and otherwise.
How?
So on Saturday, you know, it was pouring rain. That's why the Yankee game is rained out. And I went to visit my dad, who said he's going to kill me for saying this. He was having a hard time because, as some of you know, my mother passed away in November.
Yeah.
My mother was a humongous Mets fan.
I'm sorry.
And her father had played for the Detroit Tigers minor league, like, literally in 1918 or something.
Wait, your grandpa played for for the Tigers minor league team?
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. That is cool. Yeah.
What was your grandfather's name?
No wonder you're bumping Betty.
David Anderson. that unique name.
There's probably like six David Andersons that played for the played for the Tigers.
Right, every year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to visit my dad, and I went into their bedroom, and most of my mom's stuff is still where it was. And for some reason, I decided to go into the night table next to her side of the bed. I've never looked in this night table in my life. There's a drawer, and I looked in there, and there was like, I don't know, some Tylenol PM and stuff. And then there were these two little cabinet doors, and I opened them, and there were books. And then there was a couple of bags in there. One of the bags was something that I had given her. If you remember, Virgin Atlantic used to give you these vinyl bags with, like, socks and a pad. And
for the overnight flights, right? The little things,
so
yeah.
I used to go to London a lot, and so I guess I gave her one of these. Literally, it must have been in there for 17 years, because I haven't been on one of these flights about that long.
Yeah.
So I looked in there, and I was like, oh, figures. My mother still had, like, the unworn socks and the pen. And then I find this other thing in there, and I was like, what? And I open it up, and it is a old school like bank envelope full of $100 bills.
What? Mom.
Mom, mom,
mom, mom, mom, mom, mom, mom.
My dad had no idea that this money was there, and so I took a finder's fee, and I gave him the rest, and it paid for my Derek Jeter experience.
Wow, your mom bought you those tickets.
Yep.
Even though she was a Mets fan, she knew.
And even though she is no longer
I know. Well, but that's irrelevant.
That's
We've talked about that already. We talked about that last week. But yes, I mean, not about your mom specifically, but yes, your mom paid for your ticket because she wanted you to go.
She made sure that I got to Derek Jeter Day, even though
Thank you, Mom.
Mets.
That's awesome. That is a wonderful story. I like that story very much. Thank you.
So, and I went, and the first game looked bad, but then we beat the pants off of them. And then the second game, Tanaka.
Oh, my God. He had a meltdown.
Wrong with him.
Yeah.
That was garbage.
Yeah, that was
That was
garbage
straight
game.
Garbage.
They really should have
played
Derek Jeter.
The first three guys hit home runs off of him, and it was like downhill from there.
Yeah, I know.
No, that sucks because it's like everyone's jacked and everyone's feeling great, and then you're like,
that happens.
Everybody left by the end of the game because it was
you saw the ceremony. You saw a game already because it was doubleheader, right?
It was pretty empty the first game, though.
I'm surprised.
Because people show up late. You know, they got to go to church or whatever.
They
gotta
do.
Go to their mom brunch for Mother's Day.
You're not going to the Yankee game. It's Mother's Day.
It's Mother's Day. Buy me something.
So, but you know, the offense actually came back strong. They only lost that game, 10-7, and it was 9-0.
Whatever,
like,
man.
It was so.
Who was pitching
down
for the Astros at that point? Like some ball boy
knows
or something like that.
They didn't care. It didn't even matter. Didn't even matter.
And then Chapman is out for at least a month.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that because Dylan Betances is on my fantasy team, and he's going to get a lot of saves now.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I understand from our Horsey Talk correspondent, Lester Jim F.
Yeah.
He is the one who's filling me in now on how the Sportsy Talk fantasy baseball team
is going.
Well, it turns out that call screener John, the people's call screener, is doing very well. He's making some very canny trades.
All my good players have been injured. I've already had to drop them.
Yeah, I understand.
But in my other league, I'm
the people's call screener is like in first
top.
Or second. He's doing really well. It doesn't. Nobody cares how you're doing in your other league. Nobody cares
that
how
league
you're doing
is,
in
that league
this
is the
league.
Money league. That league is like
the money league. All right.
Pressure league.
Well, anyway, it's
turned me down, but it.
Call screener John. Is doing really well.
He's an excellent call screener, by the
he's
way.
He's a terrific. He's really the best.
He is a real important part of this team, the Sportsy Talk team. All right, Betty.
So that's my story.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you.
To it. Go Yankees are playing in Kansas City tonight.
Oh yeah, it's too late. Too late for me. I can't watch.
Great.
That.
It's a great ballpark if just for the barbecue.
Yeah.
So if you ever get to
Kauffman
Stadium,
will they send us some barbecue?
Probably.
We should look
it's
up.
It's delicious, by the way.
Can you look up what's
it's
happening with the Mariners this week? Because
nothing.
You know,
they're in last place and they're terrible.
They sent us.
They're not in last place. But they're close. I don't know.
They're not in last place because Oakland doesn't
because
even play
Oakland
baseball.
Oakland exists.
They have like 10 punters on that team. Like they're like, what's happening?
Where are we moving to? All right.
Well, and if the Mets were in the American League, they would. Didn't we talk about how
there's they should do that thing that they do in the BPL where they send terrible teams down and bring other teams up.
British Premier
League. Yeah, so they should give a chance to
relegate.
They
should relegate
Durham, to come up, and they should send the Mets down.
We have news from one of our South Carolina listeners. Listener Ralphine says that Tim Tebow, she's been going to watch Tim Tebow play.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Tim Tebow is coming up in the Mets organization. That's a single A team, and now he's going to double A, supposedly.
It says 9 hours ago, Mets prospect Tim Tebow struggling in return to New Jersey.
Oh, he came up. They brought him up already, huh? So he's in New Jersey
now.
Yeah,
now guys who can actually pitch. He's not playing against 18 and 19-year-olds.
He's not in single A, now he's in double A.
The former Heisman Trophy winner has been in Lakewood, New Jersey since Sunday, along with his Columbia Fireflies teammates for a four-game series against the Blue Claws.
Blue Claws.
He's not doing very well this weekend.
Good.
But he looks good.
Can we go see him? I mean,
probably.
If he's in New Jersey, we could go see a game.
I'll give him a call.
All right.
We'll talk to him.
Okay, Betty, thank you very much for calling. Talk to you next week, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh. Yeah, Jeets.
Wait.
What happened?
She made a noise. It sounded like something
was fell down
happening.
The stairs. She'll be fine.
Dear. All right.
She's on the boards. We'll make sure she's okay.
Okay, are you okay, Betty?
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. Please dial carefully.
I have a question for the listeners.
Yes.
Okay, here, the New York Post, we've got it up on our comments board at WFMU.org. If you go to the comments board, you can see the cover of the New York Post.
Yeah.
Why does God hate the Mets?
Well, first of all, the New York Post hates the Mets and always has.
Well, they should.
And they just are completely mean to the Mets. Even when they're good, they're mean to the Mets.
Are they? Because I always thought the Post was like the tragic paper that if you wanted to wear a sign that said I'm an idiot, moron, racist, and I voted for Trump, that you would carry around
the New York Post. I had a whole thing where I like to read the Post for the sports.
Why?
Because they're like Mike Vaccaro. They have some great writers.
Okay, all right.
So I would rip it in half. I'd rip the front off that had all the racist garbage in it. And I'd throw that away.
And then you just read the
sports?
And
I would keep Garfield. So I'd keep the cartoons.
No, Garfield is terrible.
I would keep the cartoons and the sports.
Yeah.
Bullpen Betty says, I'm strong.
Okay, good.
Eugene says, Jerry Eisenberg, dean of sports writers, liked the Preakness over the Derby for its lack of pretentiousness, such as back in the day when they used to paint yellow daisies to fill in as the state flower, black-eyed Susans, which are not in bloom in time. Now they use look-alike chrysanthemums.
Chrysanthemums don't look anything like black-eyed Susans. They're completely
different
botanically.
They do if you paint them
chrysanthemums have like a lot of like petals. And
by the way, there's nothing worse from my television viewing experience than Bob Costas in HD.
I saw Bob Costas on the Derby broadcast.
How do
you
look?
He looked okay.
Did Sluggo, he have red eye?
Sluggo and I both said, hey, he looks better. I mean, Sluggo said his work must have like kind of settled in around his face so that it looks more natural
together.
Or
yeah,
something.
They, like,
he looked better. 201-209-9368. If you have an answer to the question, why does God hate the Mets?
I think it's good.
Why does God hate
the Mets? Well, now that the Cubs have won the World Series and are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's good to have teams that are like the lovable losers.
I don't think losers are lovable. See, that's why I think God hates them, because they're losers. I think God likes winners.
Why would God like winners?
I like winners. God likes
There's something
winners.
About losers, and you haven't experienced
losers
this because
terrible.
You've latched onto the best teams possible
yeah,
throughout your
course.
Entire life.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm saying,
why
like, cheering for a loser...
is stupid.
No, it makes
it's
when you
worthless.
Win really cool.
You're
you know,
never going to win.
The Red
you
Sox
like one,
won. The Red Sox
yeah.
won. They did. And the Cubs won. Everybody went crazy.
All right, the Cubs. I'll give it to
the Cavaliers.
The Cubs.
Remember the Cavaliers won? That was pretty cool.
That was happiness. Yes, I know. They were happy. Everybody
they're happy.
Happy.
They're
everybody
probably going to win again.
Yeah, that's good.
But this is the most exciting night in NBA of
tonight?
All the
we have,
tonight.
We're not done with the Mets yet.
I'm
go ahead.
Done.
All right.
Yeah,
no,
everyone's
I have,
done
because
with the Mets.
I have a way for the Mets to placate God.
And move to Montreal and
no,
become the Montreal
ahead.
Expos.
No, go ahead. Tell me what you're thinking about the NBA, and then I'm going to go back to the Mets.
It's draft lottery nights, which
what's
is they
mean?
Use all
for
these.
The, for the NBA?
It's like, yeah, it's like the real lottery, except they will choose who. So
yeah,
that,
but the Knicks.
You can't just dump out and be terrible.
Yeah, but the Knicks were terrible, and they're
Knicks aren't going to win
they're
the
still
draft
not going to get the. They're not going to get the.
They're
first
not terrible
pick.
Enough.
It doesn't matter how bad they are.
They're not terrible enough.
So it's like the bad, terrible teams all have to pull. Ping pong balls
ping
out
pong
of a
balls.
Bucket or something.
Yeah,
to see
yeah.
What
and then, so the Celtics have the best chance to win because they made an incredible trade with the Nets like 4 or 5 years ago that has involved 3 number one picks.
But aren't the Celtics like they're in the playoffs? So they're a
yeah,
good team.
Yeah, they're actually a great team and they're going to get a top
a
3 pick.
Okay.
So they're going to be even better next year.
Okay, fine.
Because they're going to be amazing. Because they had a top 3 draft pick last year.
201, 209, 9368.
But I
if
predict,
you want to change the topic,
I
go
don't.
Ahead. Go ahead. I know. I'm just saying.
I want to predict that the Philadelphia 76ers will get another number one pick.
Yes.
And then they'll have like a whole team of number one picks at some point. So they'll have to be good.
Not necessarily. Just because somebody's a number one
well,
pick.
They were all injured this year. So.
Yeah.
Listener Ralphine says, yes. Tebow hasn't been promoted. The Columbia Fireflies are playing the Lakewood, New Jersey Blue Claws, which have no business being in the South Atlantic League.
Well, yeah, they don't.
Why are they in the South Atlantic League?
I don't know. I read that he was getting promoted. I thought Ralphine told me that. Maybe I told Ralphine that. I get confused. But okay, he's up here. How long is Tebow going to be up here for? Let's get tickets.
He's probably
and go
played
see
4
him.
Games. No, I don't know. Where's Lakewood?
I don't know. You're from New Jersey, not me.
I am.
Me.
I'm not
well,
from New Jersey.
Well, you live here now. I would never.
I only know Hoboken, Newark. I don't know those places very well, and Jersey City is the only 3 places I know.
WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Hi, Sportsy Talk people.
It's David's Corner. Yay!
Hey, I want to say you from Brooklyn Bullpen Betty.
I don't understand why the phones are so...
Everyone says they can hear.
Is Derek Jeter Puerto Rican by any chance?
Is who Puerto Rican?
Derek Jeter.
No, he's... His father's black and his mother's white.
Yeah.
No, be for real. Be for real with me.
No, that's real.
That's true. His parents were at the Jeter Day ceremony, and his dad is black and his mom is white. He grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And then he stayed for a while with his grandma in New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the first black and white that I seen that actually blew my mind, her demeanor was cool, calm, collective, while the transient patient on the other line wasn't making sense about just the time that he can take it to meet with her. Now, still all the time I observed her carefully, you know, my training over 40 years in psychiatry, making more than just a patient. My doctor
we took our mics out of mono, so I don't think he can hear us if we're talking now.
Voices or things. Anyway, so
no,
do you want me to put them back in so he can hear you?
Oh, what was it? Okay,
or do you want to talk about
he's doing fine.
I know, but I mean, we can talk about something else while he's going on.
He blew my mind by saying, no, I'm sorry, I'm not Puerto Rican.
You don't want to do that.
I'm a little curious what he's saying.
All right, let's back on.
Oh, that's great, but you looked at so, like, she ravished me, like, she was like, bubble this, bubble ties, bubble butt, bubble everything. And I fell in love. I said, you want to get married? She started laughing. She's my co-insurance person, but make sure I get coverage so I can, they take care of me so I won't be alone.
Well, that's nice. You don't want to be alone.
No.
How are you feeling, David?
I love my bachelorhood. I mean, you know, coming into bachelorhood stage, I love my aloneness. I can go craft when I want to. I have nobody to. I have no commitments yet. Hope to bring a son to the world, but they still come along anyway. From New Mexico desert somewhere in Los Alamos, as I understand it. Almost. I've done a 200 club. And right. For that reason, after I had a good time at a Mother's Temple concert, some black guy wanted to jump in there bay with me and kill me. Over at Penn State, after Penn Station comes the pack train at Thayer and Herald Square. Remember me, Herald Square, so I didn't jump in there bay with him.
I'm glad nobody killed you.
Yeah, that's good. We don't want anything bad to happen to you.
No, we like you.
David, how are you feeling? How's everything been going there?
I got it out. I went through the
stairs. You might as well have the mics off. Thank you. David, how are you feeling now? How's your health?
I'm going to oncology tomorrow after a long stay, and my oncologist had a baby girl in the meanwhile.
Well, that's nice.
Congratulations. And had a baby girl. We need more girls in the world.
Yeah, we do.
We definitely need more girls in the world.
Definitely need more girls in the world.
So they can, because I'm hoping for a matriarchy at some point.
David,
this patriarchy thing isn't working out.
David,
don't get me started there.
David, we got another call, so thanks for calling. It's great to hear from you. I'm glad you're fine. God
thank
bless.
You. I appreciate that. I got to send more things over to you. The business things. I want to send things.
Okay.
I want to get rid of my apartment so I can go to Oregon.
Okay. Well, Oregon's great. I hope you
thank
enjoy
you.
It.
Take care,
bye.
David. I guess we are having trouble with the call, so I'm sorry if people couldn't hear David very well.
Yeah, I have this all the way up, and nobody can hear, and I don't know
why. Is there some sort of wire or
there's a list where you have to put down trouble with the
should
studio.
I have not spilled beer all over everything?
You didn't spill beer all over everything.
Not that you
I,
know
but I don't
of.
Know oh, golly they'll blame you for that if you did.
They'll blame Jimmy.
My idea for why God hates the Mets, we already discussed that.
What's
but
your idea? Yeah, but
my
how
idea
can they
is to
them?
Is to they to get to make God not hate the Mets anymore.
How?
There's one thing they have to do.
Like an exorcism or something.
They have to build a giant wicker Mr. Met and put Mr. Met inside it and put
actual
it
Mr.
on
Met.
Actual Mr. Met inside the giant wicker Mr. Met.
Four-fingered demon of the night.
Yes, put him inside the giant wicker Mr. Met and put it on the pitcher's mound in Citi Field, and light it on fire. And if they burn Mr. Met in the appropriate way, in the old way, the way of the
in
old,
the old way.
The way of the old beliefs, yes.
Okay.
That then God will be satisfied, and God will smile again upon the Mets. And all they have to do is burn Mr. Met in a giant wicker Mr. Met, and that'll take care of it. That's my idea.
The wicker burning.
Yes, the wicker Met.
I mean, we can look into that. I mean, I'm sure they can arrange it. They need.
Well, I think they need.
They have
to
all
do kind something.
Of nights where they have
they
like disco
something.
Night. They have you know.
Yeah, and they could have burn Mr. Met night.
And they love moving games on Sundays from 1 o'clock to 8:30.
Yeah, I know, right?
Any chance they get
and
to like
look,
move
he'll look
a.
Great, he'll look great burning in the night.
Oh, it'll
that'd
be
fantastic.
Nice.
You know,
be
it's
nice.
Like all just like it'll be like fireworks.
That'll be very nice.
WFMU, you're on the air. Probably we can't hear you.
Is Devin here?
I think God hates the Mets because he's being controlled by the prayers and aspirations of the descendants of Dodgers fans who, if they can't have their Dodgers, don't want there to be any other team beside the Yankees.
So
that's
the,
a
it's,
good... That's
it's the Dodgers fans.
It's are, like, you know, if there's some... I know people, if they don't get exactly what they want, they would rather have nothing, and anything that they get feels
my
yeah,
grand,
my
grandfather
a good
was
point.
A Dodgers fan,
that's
and they
point.
Never watched baseball again after they left the
well,
Brooklyn.
If they can't, it's like one of those, if I can't have her, no one else can things.
Well, it's more like, I just, if I can't get exactly what I want, I am going to, you know...
keep everybody else
get
from getting what
the
they... Yeah.
I'm not accepting that I can't get exactly what I want.
That's an interesting theory.
So what the Mets theory. Need to do is they need to change their name to the Dodgers and hire Jackie Robinson.
I am a little surprised that because the Dodgers name doesn't
good.
Make much sense in
yeah, yeah.
Los Angeles.
Well, they,
but now
that,
they've
I
been
like,
there
I
for
like
50
you
years,
the, you
60
have the New York,
years,
you
right?
You could have the New York Dodgers and the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, that's
nobody
the second,
would get them confused.
That's
It'd
the second
there's
oldest field.
Cats in Canadian football.
There's, oh, right.
There's what?
There are two teams called the Tiger Cats.
The Tiger Cats.
Tiger
in
Cats.
Canadian football.
Really? In the same league?
Yeah.
awesome. I didn't know that. That's great.
Which ones? I think it's the Tiger Cats.
Who are you? Who is this?
Listener Michael in Boston.
Hi, Listener Michael in Boston.
Go Celtics.
Okay, go Celtics.
No,
please.
No.
No.
From New York, and when the Yankees win, or a New York team wins something, the attitude was general, even among sports fans, was, yeah, good. You did what you're supposed to. That's great. In Boston, when a local team wins something big,
which they never do,
the second coming, and they throw parades and they have things.
Yeah, that's because they hardly
the supermarkets.
Yeah, they hardly ever. They hardly ever win, though. I mean, you can't.
What are you talking about? We just won the Super Bowl.
You cheated.
You don't know. You can't prove we cheated.
You know you cheated.
I didn't personally cheat.
Your team cheated.
There's
but
the
I have
Hamilton
to say, I have
Tiger
to say,
Cats, and there might be the, I don't know, I'm looking
have
it up.
To,
there might
I
be
have to say that,
Edmonton.
That I have become kind of a fan of Isaiah Thomas.
Thomas.
I have.
New Isaiah Thomas, not old Isaiah Thomas.
No, he's on the Celtics.
Second
and
Isaiah Thomas.
The second, yeah.
Second
the same,
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas 2.
His father lost a bet or something like that. I don't remember why. But he lost a bet and had to name his kid Isaiah Thomas.
I'm kind of.
And spelled
of,
it right. So, I mean, that's good.
There you go. All right, thank you so much, listener. Bye.
Devin, what's on the big show tonight?
Would you stop screaming in the thing?
Alessandro Alessandroni, the whistler from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Oh, really? Is he going to whistle other things?
He might. We'll find out.
Also, Menomina. He's the Menomina voice.
Oh, he does? What? He is? Awesome. Oh, wow. That's
I don't want to ruin.
Show.
I don't want to take away from the show.
No.
Stay tuned for more Coney Island. It's up
this
next.
It's going to be awesome. All right, so where am I starting you from two? Yes.
Maria Sharapova denied a waiver to play in the French Open and then got a thigh injury in the Italian Open in one day.
Haha, Sharapova.
You're just laughing at her?
Yeah.
What happened with our... Are you going to be in the Smashing Cars thing? Have we worked that out?
We're working on... There's a new... what are those things called?
Cars.
Go-karts. Go-karts. Go-kart track.
You don't get to smash them into each other?
No. It's not a demolition derby, although I'll probably smash mine up. But there is a new go-kart track that's opening up in Jersey City, and we're working with them to have a WFMU car... in a race, and I will drive because I'm the only person that has a driver's license around here, apparently.
I don't have one.
I know.
They took it away.
I know. Of course they did. I mean, you know, and obviously.
I'm a menace to the road.
You are. And then we'll try to turn it into some kind of WFMU meetup or something. I mean, I think they're expecting a lot of things from us because we're a radio station, and I keep saying...
Like, we don't have anything.
I keep saying, no, we're like nonprofit.
It's rather pointless.
And in fact, this radio station is WFMU East Orange.
I don't get to do that. Wait a minute, you're sitting over there. Why don't I get to do it?
You want to do it? Go ahead.
Not anymore.
Well, we got to get off the air.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFMU, Mount Hope, and Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM and all over the world. You can hear us online at WFMU.org.
That was fancy.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us into your home tonight. May God bless.
You are listening to Morricone Island on WFMU. I'm your host, Stephanie Levins. This week, we will be rebroadcasting an interview I conducted with Alessandro Alessandroni back on February 13th, 2014, from his home in Namibia, Africa, via Skype. He was a month shy of 90 at the time. We unfortunately lost El Maestro on March 26th this year, 2017,